Welcome to the Failing Writers Podcast. This week, Dave says something, then John says something, then Dave says something else, and then Tom says something. Yeah. Same old, really.
Right. What are we here for, Tommy? Remind me.
We're recording a podcast, remember, John?
Oh, that's podcast. Right.
We're going to try
that's what it is.
And not get too angry and be grown up about things.
Yeah.
Because we all entered a competition, a 100-word competition, to write a short story.
Yeah, microfiction.
We thought it'd be a good idea to kind of do a little audio diary of it as we went along so we could see what it was like and kind of, you know, track our progress through the competition.
Yeah, just in case anyone out there is thinking, is it worth entering these sort of things? We thought we'd have a go and tell you, no, no, it's not worth it.
Yeah. The idea was to track our progression through each round.
Yeah.
As we got through each round down to the final.
And I think it'll be interesting to see what each of us thinks of each other's stories, because we've not heard each other's stories. We've kept it secret from each other.
That's true.
Actually, that feedback will be probably a lot more useful than the feedback that we got.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because at the moment, we're all a little bit bitter about the judge's decisions. But once we've heard each other's poem, things are like,
they've got a really good point.
I didn't think of that.
So with it being based in New York, there's a slight issue on the time zones as well, wasn't there? In that it releases your details for what you have to write. So we each had a different little brief. So you'd get selected as a different genre, and then there was action that you had to include,
wasn't there?
Yes.
And a word that needed to be woven in somewhere. But that was released at 5 o'clock in the morning, wasn't it?
Yes.
Did either of you two get up at 5 o'clock?
Well, you'll find out, Tommy, won't you?
You will find out.
You're about to find out.
Yeah, I certainly didn't.
Okay, so my first clip is the day before.
Oh, is it now?
Yeah. Do you want that one first?
Yes, please.
Because I'm guessing neither of you...
The last clip goes up to tomorrow.
I'm guessing neither of you... Yeah. I'm guessing neither of you did that. So I'll go first.
All right.
Yeah. Here we go. So it's the NYC Midnight 100-word microfiction challenge tomorrow, Saturday. So I thought I would just get my head around what that actually means. What is 100 words? I kind of associate 100 words with like a 40-second radio commercial. But I'm not sure that's really what they're looking for. So I thought I'd just have a quick look at some existing ones. Last year's winners, they're really quite good, which is troubling. But they're not beyond the realms of possibility, are they? None of them are very funny. The last one's quite funny, but also very dark. I think if you can get dark and funny in, then you're probably onto a winner. Anyway, I'm not going to have a go yet because I haven't actually got the instructions. I think we get the instructions at like 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to get up that early, by the way. We get the theme and then we're off. So I will spend maybe a couple of hours tomorrow cracking it off. Is that the right way to put it? I don't know. But, yeah.
So that's the day before. Anything else from the day before, John?
No, nothing else.
In the weeks leading up to it or anything? Or?
Yeah, I had a look at a few. Did you look at any before you started?
No.
Yeah. Some were good, some were bad.
Yeah.
I didn't quite understand how a couple of those were finalists or whatever.
Yeah, there were a couple that were just not very interesting at all.
Yeah.
And then there were a couple that were really, really good, I thought.
I didn't want to prejudice myself. So I'd come to it totally fresh.
Yeah, well, that worked out well for you, didn't it?
Yeah.
But do you want to, I'm guessing, what time did you get up, Tommy?
Well, have a listen to this.
Okay, so it's just gone 5 o'clock in the morning and somehow I've woken up like a kid at Christmas in anticipation of what is going to be coming here in this writing challenge. So I'm going to click the link now and then I can see what my assignment is. Oh, come on. Gonna say I'm not particularly happy with the genre. I wanted comedy or drama or something, but I've got historical fiction. Action, putting salt on something. And the word, ounce. Okay, I am massively underwhelmed, but it's fine. I've got 23 hours and 50 minutes to be whelmed rather than underwhelmed, and I'll give it my best shot.
That was my excitement at the reveal of what I had to do. Yay! Yeah.
That's Tommy at 5 o'clock in the morning, everybody.
Wow.
It's almost unheard of.
Right there, Tom, at 5 o'clock in the morning.
I think I'd feel the same about that historical fiction.
Yeah, no, it's not anything I've ever read or done or thought about. Or
well, you don't read, Tommy, so that's probably why.
Well, yeah.
But there's quite a lot of history, isn't there? So to try and get history into 100 words...
Actually, in historical fiction as well, you've got to set up a world, whereas anything else, you just kind of go straight in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So something historical fiction is something that didn't happen in the past,
but could have in a scenario that everyone's
tricky
understands what was happening.
I'll go next then because I got up slightly after
go on
that.
Then.
Well, it's just after 5:30 in the morning.
Amateur.
And I got up because I needed a wee. I thought I might as well have a quick look at the instructions and then maybe go back to sleep and see if I can't think of something amazing. In my sleep. So let's have a quick look. Below is the link to the first round. Click on your name to find your genre, action, and word assignment. There's a lot of people entering. Bloody hell. I mean, literally thousands. Thousands. I suppose I was thinking maybe we had a chance here of maybe winning if we wrote something good, but we'd be lucky if they even read it. Got to be nearly there now. Okay. Oh, I've got horror. How exciting. Action, hiking a mountain. Word, heat. Right, so horror, hiking a mountain, heat. Okay, get to work, brain. I'm off back to bed.
Wow, you two got yours a lot earlier than me.
It didn't help, Bad. It did not
well,
help.
I know, just saying. It was a lot earlier.
So just before, I mean... I assume at some point you looked at what yours was, Dave. But
I did eventually, yeah.
Yeah. Before you did that, I think I probably did.
Okay, being thoroughly underwhelmed with the genre of historical fiction, I've had a sneaky peek at John's genre and actions and things, and that's not fair. He's got horror, hiking a mountain, and the word he has to get in is heat. I mean, that's easy, isn't it? That pretty much writes itself. See what Dave's got as well. Oh, you are kidding me. Come on. So Dave, he's bloody got comedy, hasn't he?
You all knew what I had before I even got up.
Yeah.
So I felt even worse about my selection then.
I did have a quick look at yours as well, and I did feel a bit sorry for Tommy.
Well, yeah, that's true. Tom did have it hardest, but...
So what time did you get up, Ben?
Well, let's have a look.
There's 3 minutes left until I need to submit my story. Let's have a look at what I got.
So today is the day of the NYC Midnight hashtag microfiction 100 challenge. It's just gone midday. I've got until 5:00 in the morning to finish it. What am I doing right now? I'm watching cartoons with my 6-year-old daughter. At some point... I'll get around to doing something, but I don't know when. Are you going to let me do some writing today, Jess? For the recording, Jessica is shaking her head no. Okay, so it's now 3:00 in the afternoon, on Saturday afternoon. I've just dropped Jess off at gymnastics. I've got 45 minutes now to have a look at this writing assignment. So let's click through and see what it's actually about. Okay, how do I find me? God, there's a lot of people here. Baird, first name Dave, here we go. Right, genre, comedy, great. Action, breaking a record. Word, delicate. Ooh, interesting. Right, let's give it a go.
You must have felt like you're onto a winner there, Dave. I could tell that in your voice. I was thinking, well, that's what I thought about it, to be honest.
Comedy, that sounds good.
But then you realise that 100 words isn't a long arc to create, bring up and finish off a piece of comedy.
It's true. I mean, if you were to write a... like a knock-knock joke.
Yeah.
That would take up most of 100 words, wouldn't it? So, it's not so easy.
It's not a lot of setup, is it? But then...
But to set up and pay off any story in 100 words is really tricky. But to then try and sort of, get a sort of comedy or horror or anything like that into it is a really, really tough challenge.
Yeah. I thought so. I thought it was actually a brilliant challenge.
We should probably have done it better, shouldn't we?
I think we should probably do more of this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's really good for honing.
There was a lot of honing involved, wasn't
getting
it?
Getting you to really think about every word. It's more like poetry in some ways, isn't it? Because every word really matters.
It just seemed to me to be a sort of exercise in taking words out. Do you know what I mean? It was like
Sort
of, you have an idea, throw something down.
Which is something we've been well trained in terms of writing radio ads. That was a huge skill in radio ads, wasn't it?
Yeah. Which words can you lose but still keep the general gist of it?
Yeah.
I've got a question for you, Birdie.
Yeah.
In that 45 minutes, did you manage to write something?
Yes.
Was it 100 words?
No.
But you got some ideas out.
What's weird is, you'll hear, I sort of did a bit of research, but what's weird is that a couple of days after the results of this came out, the research that I did ended up actually in the news.
Whoa.
So this thing that I found that sort of informed my story was actually in the news a few days after the judging, which was a bit of an odd coincidence.
So is that something we're going to hear in a second?
Yeah, you can hear it now if you want.
Yes, please.
Let's do it.
All right, hang on. Right, so my theme is breaking a record, and I couldn't decide whether to go with breaking a record as in Guinness Book of Records, breaking a world record, or breaking an actual record like an LP or something. So I decided to go with both. And I've actually done some research and found out that the most expensive record ever sold is an album called Once Upon a Time in Shaolin by the Wu-Tang Clan. And there's only one copy ever made, and it was sold for like £1.5 million. And there's a weird clause in with the contract when it was sold at auction that apparently the members of Wu-Tang Clan are entitled to have one attempt to try and steal the record back. So anyone who's a member of the Wu-Tang Clan can try to steal the record from whoever buys it. And if they get caught, they can't get sent to prison for it, which is ingenious. And also I found out that as well as the Wu-Tang Clan, one other person, one other human being is allowed to attempt to steal the record. And it's the actor Bill Murray. I'm going to make the main character in my story is going to be called Bill.
Good research.
Wow.
There you go. So I actually did proper research. Yeah. I mean, the research was just typing what's the most expensive record ever into Google and then reading the stories. But yeah, it was bizarre. So the guy who bought it was this sort of big pharma dude, not like a farmer, you know, like a pharmaceutical kind of company fella. It's the guy, I can't remember his name, but it's the guy who I think he made or he bought some sort of HIV treatment and then pushed the price up through the roof.
Yeah,
so he was all, and yeah, anyway, he was convicted of fraud by the FBI, and this record was seized as one of his assets, and it was resold just after the judging for this came out for, I don't know, like $1 million or something like that. Proper that's research, brilliant. You see, chaps. I wasn't playing about here.
I love it.
That story is so much better than the story that I wrote for the competition. So, whilst I was dropping Jess off at gymnastics, what were you guys doing? What's next in the diary zone?
Well, I was doing this. Oh my God! Why am I agonizing over this so much? I must be writing like at the rate of about a word every 10 minutes at the moment. And I actually don't want to record this because I need to crack on. So, yeah.
Can you hear the stress in my voice? I get quite stressed.
there was, wasn't there?
There's quite a lot.
Quite a lot to do that day. I think that was before we were just, I don't know, I think I had like half an hour or something before we went out, and I'd gone down this little rabbit hole of one and really tried to make it work, and it didn't really work, so I abandoned it and started again, and I think you can hear that in my voice.
Saturday is a tricky day if you've got a family, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Because there's always stuff to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were going out that night, so we were out from, I don't know, like 5 o'clock. We'd already been quite busy during the day, so I was like snatching at time.
Yeah.
And then
it's only 100 words. Yeah. Come on.
I know.
You've been up since 5 o'clock in the morning, John.
You could have had it written by 8 o'clock. You could have had it done before breakfast.
I went back to bed till about 9.
Yeah, I did. Are you doing the same as me, just hoping that, like you said in your thing, that you just, I'll read the information, then magically when I wake up, my asleep brain will have
just percolate through the brain.
A perfect 100 word story.
Pop out.
I mean, Dave just got his idea from some research. I mean, that's cheating, surely. Anyway, I'll play one more. Hang on.
Go on.
Here you go.
actually quite stressed now. It's 9:30 in the evening. Quite tired and just been out to see some friends. I was hoping to get it done before we went. But I feel like it could be a late night. I'm just really not happy with what I've written so far. I have got something to 100 words, but it's not very horror. Anyway, I might read it to Katie, see what she thinks.
Getting more stressed now.
Are you a bit drunk at this point as well? It's been
I had a couple of drinks,
there.
I'll be honest with you.
That's not going to help, is it?
Not really, no.
Maybe it might, I don't know.
No. I was hoping to get it all, like in that last half hour, I'd just started a new one. I was hoping to sort of bash it out in half an hour. I just thought, yeah, I could do this.
Did you go through lots of different ideas then or not?
Well, early on I did, but then I sort of whittled them down to one, but that one turned out to be a bit shit, so...
right, but
so I abandoned it.
So far down the line.
Yeah, exactly. So I was effectively starting at about 9:30 at night.
Grief.
When I was tired and slightly drunk.
What about you, Tom? Did you have more than one idea?
Right, so it's just gone up to 3:00 in the afternoon and I've not really written anything. I've written a few notes, had a couple of ideas for my blooming historical fiction story. One surrounding a salt mine concentration camp in Russia, which is always a cheerful subject, isn't it? And the other, which I think is probably my favourite at the minute, is about Henry VIII, which is always a good time period, isn't it? And after briefly describing the outline of the two ideas to my wife, she liked the Henry VIII one. So at the minute, that's the way it's heading. Like I said, it's 3:00 now. I'll probably just write it this evening. It's only 100 words, isn't it? Can't be that hard.
So we both brought our wives into the equation.
the ultimate sounding board.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I kind of thought Henry VIII as well. You know what you're saying initially about you've got to set up a world and everything? Mm. That's quite an easy one to be in and everyone kind of knows it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking with the American market as well, because obviously it's American competition, American judges, nice. That it's kind of a shared knowledge.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a...
Yeah.
It's everyone knows about Henry VIII.
Everyone knows about that, don't they?
Yeah. You would hope so, and you'd think so.
Of all of the Henrys, people know about him more than the other ones, don't they?
Yeah, even Henry Kelly.
So you'd settled on that then, did you, Tom? Were you still genuinely thinking, 100 words, how hard can it be?
Yeah, I think I was. And this is about an hour later.
Okay, it's coming up to 4:00. I'm actually going to put pen to paper and write something. Just had a WhatsApp message from Dave. Saying, oh, yeah, I've only just opened the thing, might start right next, trying to play it cool. So we'll see what he comes up with. But, going to write some an award-winning 100-word story then, I guess. Here goes nothing.
Very confident. Still feeling relatively chipper, even despite my genre.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got this nailed.
Yeah, and so this was the next stage in the process.
Well, we're down to 128 words. So it doesn't sound like much, 28 words, but then when you think about it, that's... quite a high percentage I need to get rid of. So, I think I've got my story. I just need to be pretty ruthless and get rid of some words.
Yeah.
I was on a bit of a roll, I think, actually.
Yeah,
after that.
Definitely. And how long did it take you to get rid of those words?
Well, have a listen to this.
So, I got it down to 100 words, but not sure if it's rubbish or not. I think this is a bit harder than we thought it might be. Yeah, I'm just going to probably read it and read it over and over again until it doesn't make any sense and I am convinced it will be. That sounds like a good idea. Cool, I'll do that.
So I'd kind of got into, I think we all are familiar with that position, aren't we? Where the initial surge of, yes, this is an idea. Hello, fingers are typing the words. This is going well. Oh, I need to edit it down a bit. That's fine. And then you, does that still make sense? Was this, I don't know if this was a good idea. Oh, it's too late now because this is my idea.
It's that thing, isn't it? When you've read it so often, you can't take out the fact that you knew what was in there before. So does it actually objectively make sense? Or is it just, it makes sense to someone who read the 500 word version?
Well, I read it to my 8-year-old daughter and she got it.
Oh, there we go.
So I thought, well... if she gets it, then the judges will get it, won't they? Yeah,
well, I feel like this is leading up to something.
No, just saying. Just leave that there.
So, Betty, where are you at this point in the evening? You've finished ages ago.
Well, you're here that my way of dealing with stress, just to go, Okay, so I've got it down to 100 words, and I'm now in a weird sort of limbo zone because I think it's quite good, and it's exactly 100 words, so I don't want to change any of it because I can't put anything in. I don't want to take anything out. But there's a part of me that thinks I should try and come up with another idea and do something else. But then I'd be faced with the decision to make of which one is the best. So I'm going to follow my gut, I think, and do what I've always done and follow the that'll do route. So, I think I've done it. Okay, it is now 9 o'clock. Jess is finally in bed. I've been regaled with tales of gymnastics. We've eaten a massive lunch at Sunday dinner on a Saturday night for some reason, which is sort of anarchy that's left me feeling totally spun out. I've got the kettle on, I'm making a cup of tea. Surprisingly, I haven't had any blinding flashes of inspiration, so I'm just going to submit the idea that I had and hope that it's good enough. So here we go. Gone. Submitted. 100 words in the bag. Fingers crossed. Let's have a cup of tea.
That was it.
And it was just all so easy, wasn't it?
Well, it just...
Hey, Betty, so easy. Yeah,
well, I would imagine John's next diary entry is going to sound very similar to that. Isn't it, John? Pretty chilled. Also, it's...
Let's have a listen, shall we?
Well, I've realised why it's called the NYC Midnight 100 Word Challenge. It's because it takes you till midnight to write 100 words. So, it is actually just before midnight. And everyone else has gone to bed, obviously. I feel a bit shattered, to be honest. But I have actually finished it. And reading it back, I feel like this idea is so blindingly simple. I probably should have come up with it a lot quicker. But there's so few words to play with it. It needs to be so simple. I think I've only really just got that in my head. But we're done. Is it any good? I can't really tell, to be honest. I think I need to rewrite it. No, don't rewrite it, John. I think I need to reread it. Maybe in a few days' time. But obviously, it'll be too late to enter it by then. So I need to upload this now and wait and see what happens. All right. Night-night. You can hear the resignation.
Yeah, you sounded a bit hollow there, didn't you?
Yeah. It's been a long a day.
Bit. Jeez. You're not kidding.
Interesting how we all kind of went around it in different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with the same disappointing result. Just goes to show there's no right way to be a failure, is there? What?
No. You can fail in a lot of ways.
So many different paths you can take.
Birdie's way is a lot simpler.
Yeah, it seemed a bit easier, you know what I mean? Birdie, to be honest.
Yeah, it did. It seemed a lot easier.
Yeah, that'll do.
Not getting up early.
If you're going to fail in a more simple and efficient
relax
way.
Yeah. About it. What was your relative stress levels then, Tom?
Mm. Oh, fine. I was relatively happy with everything, to be honest. I think, other than the genre, but I think kind of got over that in the end.
Yeah.
That initial, I was quite pleased with what I'd written. I was later on, to be honest, that I became unhappy with the process. Upon the receipt of feedback.
Well, let's hear it then, shall we? Shall we hear, do you want to read your story and then tell us the judges' comments?
Yeah. So my story is called Revenge is a Dish Fit for a King. Mm-hmm. Undercover, unannounced, the Lady of Breeding entered the hall. With a hollow curtsy and racing heart, she placed the poisoned salt upon the royal table. Do I know you, servant? The world will for my imminent revenge, she thought. Scattering adulterated salt on the chicken leg, he raised his final meal to his lips. But as if hearing her frantic mind, he cast the chicken away. I know you, woman. Your head will roll like your sister's, my last cursed wife. And I, King Henry VIII, shall ensure nobody remembers thy name. The rest, as they say, is history.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
It's good, Tommy.
So the entire idea was
that there's a made-up sister character.
Or is she? Was she real in history? We'd never be able to find out whether she was a real sister of one of his wives.
Yeah.
Because he wrote her out of history.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I am so powerful. We are in such a male-dominated society. I can literally just make you vanish from the history books.
With the flick of
the chicken. No one will even know that you dared to even try and finish me off.
Yeah.
I am so all-powerful.
Yeah.
So there's that beautiful balance of, was she a real person?
Yeah,
then?
Yeah.
Or was she, is this all made up?
Quite literally historical fiction, Tom.
But I just thought that I love stories like that leave it so...
Yeah. So there are no rumours about a similar story, I'm guessing. You've made that up entirely.
No, there's nothing.
Yeah.
It's not.
Just made
it. I love it.
So what did the judges think about it, Tom?
Presumably they loved it as much as we did.
Yeah, I can't imagine
what the judges liked. The story illuminates a moment of confrontation that is as compelling for its historical significance as it is for its visceral immediacy in drama.
Oh, that sounds pretty positive.
I mean, there's nothing like slightly overwriting your feedback, is it? The plot is clear in the story. Enjoyed the reveal that the king was Henry VIII. Oh, this is the judge I've got a little bit of an issue with. So this is the good feedback from judge. I don't even want to say the number, just in case. You know, so all the judges were assigned a number so you could see which judges were giving you the feedback.
Yeah.
It made me want to know which woman this was in history. Right, well, you're not meant to. That's the point. There's a few little clues in there that you could work out. It's the sister of one of his previous wives. But that is literally the point. But thank you for the positive feedback. What the judges feel needs work, it might be interesting to consider whether there is time or space to crystallise the perspective of the central character just that much more sharply. Touching upon her emotional backstory. No, there isn't bloody room!
Backstory. Come on.
We've got a perspective. All the clues are there. And then my favourite judge says, when we get to the end, where King Henry boasts that no one will remember this lady's name. Oh, good. Right, so they've got the idea that there's this power dynamic. Yeah. And we read the rest, as they say, is history. I wasn't sure if King Henry's boast came true, or if people do remember her today. That's literally the point! You can't put that as a negative needs work. That is the point! You can say, I don't like it, or whatever, but that's, you're using the clever bit of the story as criticism.
You know what's happened there, don't you, Tommy?
So first,
we need her name. You can't just put a name in, because she didn't exist. I'd set up her name in the beginning of the story. How would you do, why... I would give away the entire crux of the story in the first line. Who is she? And the end. And then another judge says, the end line, while a bit of a quip, doesn't really add meaning or stakes to the story as imagery or symbolism might. It literally does. It's saying that the victors write history. That's the entire... That's the point! So I think it's fair to say in some areas... I wasn't 100% on board with their criticism.
No, I get that feeling.
Yeah, maybe the first sentence of their criticism, quite enjoyed.
It's just, I don't mind if someone said, do you know what, it doesn't really work, or it felt rushed, or...
Even that, to be fair. Yes, it felt rushed.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean?
But
that's your job as a writer to make it not feel rushed.
No,
because reading that back out, actually, I think I was quite pleased. It felt meaty enough for 100 words.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There was
quite
a lot happened for 100 words.
You know what's happened, don't you, Tommy? You were a little way down the list. They'd already read about 50 and they got to yours and they hadn't really read
it
properly.
They couldn't be asked putting the mental work in.
I don't think they had. I think, to be honest, if I had, like, how many were there? 64 per thing? I don't know how many judges there were, but I'm guessing they had about 100.
64 per group.
They probably had about 100 to read, didn't they? Realistically, are the ones at the bottom of the pile going to go through to the next round? I don't think so.
Yeah.
They have to be fairly staggering, I think. I think you're going to pick them from the first 50 or so, aren't you?
Yeah.
But they clearly haven't got it. I mean, I think you've absolutely nailed the point.
Well, I mean, that's the massively frustrating thing that basically what they want me to do to make it better was to literally ruin the entire crux of the story.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
Like completely. And is that an American thing? Is it like, you know, in the Hollywood film,
I think that
needs
just
a complete ending and can't just leave something?
I don't know if it's hanging. I think John's right. I think it's just more that sort of thing of like not haven't read it properly or haven't really just haven't understood it because they've had to read it so quickly. Because there's a similar sort of thing in my one as well that makes you wonder. Did you read the story?
Go on then, Dave. Let's have a listen to yours. Yeah. Let's get angry all over again.
All right. So mine was called The Judge's Decision is Vinyl.
Nice.
Bill, the final competitor, had slept in. With eyes half closed, he grabbed his frisbee and sped to the venue. Maybe too fast, but the fines could be paid and the old lady's delicate bones would eventually heal. The task? Throw a frisbee further than any in history. He closed his eyes, pictured the trajectory, a quarter turn, twist, and release. Wu-Tang Clan's Once Upon a Time in Shaolin flew 10 feet, wobbled, then smashed against the unforgiving concrete runway. Bill remained forever a frisbee failure, but at least he held the record for breaking the world's most valuable record. So,
nice.
I think it's quite clear.
Very clear.
What the sort of, you know, what the joke is there.
Yeah.
But you've kind of explained it in the end.
I mean,
as
it requires a tiny bit of research, which I suspect they're not going to bother doing.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to know the full backstory.
I think you've maybe over-explained it in there. You've not left enough.
Well, So what the judges liked, funny title.
That's a good title.
Your play on breaking a record by literally...
Hey, speaking about the titles, next time we enter, I've found a loophole.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The titles don't count towards the word count. So have a massive, long, expositional title.
It's a really long title.
3 pages of title.
With backstory in it.
Just followed by a final paragraph.
That's good.
Technically.
That's a good idea, that.
What else did they say, Dave?
Yeah, and you got a little... you got a couple of little extra gags in as well. The old lady.
Yeah. Well, we'll come to that in a minute, John. So your play on breaking a record by literally breaking a record is quite amusing. That felt like a jab, that. Quite amusing. But anyway, clever premise. There's a classic case of mistaken identity at the heart of this story. Bill mistakes a valuable item for a frisbee and the result is catastrophic. Yeah. That's not really judging. That's just saying,
I understood your story.
I did read it.
I love that this guy is so bleary-eyed, he grabs a $2 million record, breaks the speed limit, hits an old woman, and still manages to get to the competition, only to shatter the most expensive vinyl in the world. That is wonderfully ridiculous.
All positive, so, yeah. Where's the bad
then,
stuff?
Then what the judges feel needs work. Offer completion on the suggestion of the collision with the old lady.
Yeah, I was wondering why he didn't spend 30, 40, 200 words explaining how she went to hospital. It was kind of okay, but had minor irritation from it for the rest of her days. And then maybe outline the medical bill and the procedures they went through.
Pretty key to the story there, Bertie.
Well, yeah. Someone else, who was the old lady referenced in the story?
Oh,
is there an old lady in the street?
Oh, Jesus.
That was it. Consider eliminating that. Oh, yeah. Was Bill driving a car, riding a bike?
What difference would that make?
Does it matter? Also, this is my favourite one. Also, if Bill considered the Wu-Tang Clan record valuable, reveal why he used it as a frisbee.
Because he was bleary and he got up and he didn't realise that's the entire crux of the story. They've done it again! Yes.
Because it's a comedy. That's why he used the record as a frisbee, because it's a comedy.
You want to send it back.
You should rewrite it, Dave,
and send it back to them. Find out that judge. Send them the story. I've rewritten it. So Bill gets up in the morning, accidentally picks up the Wu-Tang Clan album, puts it down, picks up his frisbee, and then, without all that confusion, you can really devote some time to the old lady.
get backstory of the old lady. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit silly because that is literally in the story.
Yeah. And then there's the last bit is that you could also have given more details about how Bill came to have access to the most expensive record in the world. Like, well, yeah, if I'd have had another few hundred words, I could have woven the whole backstory about where it came from
the
in there.
The fact that he stole it.
Yeah.
This is where the title comes in.
Yeah,
you went for your silly little pithy, mildly amusing title. You should have had a backstory in there.
But then, look, but then
a story about how Bill, who may or may not be Bill Murray, came about after purchasing the
stealing
record. Blah blah blah.
But then this, so this bit, one of the judges, it's odd. This sort of like they wanted to start writing a different story themselves. So he says, I'm wondering if there's merit in calling the character named Martin after the guy who actually bought it before going to jail for fraud. Or maybe he actually ended up going to jail for traffic violations because he hit an old woman. That might add an element of hilarity to the story.
What? That's not...
Oh,
A, that's
yeah,
not
that's
funny.
Not fucking relevant, is it?
And B, that's not funny.
Yeah. So anyway, that was odd, wasn't it? Like... I just found that really weird. Just to sort of say, who's this old lady? What's she doing there? What were her injuries? Like, you know, what was her backstory? Yeah. So anyway, there you go. So I guess I'm not quite as angry as Tom, but still.
No, I don't think you're quite as completely missing the point.
No,
of time, was it?
No, no.
But it kind of touched on it, didn't it? They tried to miss the point.
They really got close to missing the point,
really,
didn't they?
Yeah. They didn't quite have the point missing abilities of my judges
no,
on that one.
That's true.
About that particular judge.
What about yours, John? How far away from the point were your judges?
Do you know what? I can't actually remember. I think I read the feedback very quickly in a slightly sort of narky way and never looked back at it. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. Let's have a look. Well, so the story. So I got horror, hiking, heat. It's called The Watcher. I woke to the sun heating the tent like a broiler. Lily's long hair in my face. My old fella so hard I couldn't resist nudging it up against her buttocks. She clung to me for dear life last night. After the weird thing with the toothless, lank-haired hiker, she was creeped out. It wasn't even what he'd said, but more the way his sunken eyes watched us all along the trail till we were out of sight. Lily let out a growl of pleasure, turned towards me. It was the mouth I noticed first, grinning and empty of teeth.
Oh. Yeah. The lanky head. Oh. That's quite disgusting, John. Quite creepy.
So did she always not have teeth? Because I feel that needs explaining.
Well, we'll get to that, Tommy, because that's just made me remember a little bit
how
of
did
the feedback.
She lose?
So have you got any, you know, any sort of key questions? Anything you don't really understand?
Well, what colour was the tent?
Yeah.
I didn't even mention what colour the tent was.
Did she have to pay for her dental treatment? Or did she get her teeth removed on the NHS?
You just missed out so much detail.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see what the judges said.
Yeah, let's have a look. What the judges liked about your story. Good details in this piece and a strong narrative voice. The story has some good descriptions with an overall solid build of atmospheric elements that surrounds the characters. The boiling heat and close intimacy with the tent paints a vivid picture of this camp out. The narration is strong, musing about the unsettling incident with great detail of how this hiker's presence alone affected them. The final image of a toothless grin definitely heightens the eeriness to the piece. What the judges feel needs work. The ending is a bit confusing. Are readers to infer that the toothless hiker has replaced Lily, or has Lily been afflicted by whatever the toothless hiker has, causing her to lose her teeth?
Well, what do you fucking think,
what
judge?
Do you reckon?
If you had to guess, if you had to put your house on one or the other, which would you think?
It's just not clear enough.
No.
No, have you never heard of that? The hiker's tooth disease that makes a woman's teeth drop out overnight.
The ending doesn't have the full impact that this sort of story could. Mostly, this is due to where the hiker is mentioned. We learn too much too late, leading the reader to an ending that feels predictable.
Well, the other judge didn't predict it, did he?
How can the ending be predictable if they weren't sure what the ending was?
Yeah, so give it away earlier, and then we've got more time to figure it out.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
Consider reworking the structure a little bit and show us the lasting image of the hiker's toothless face at the very beginning of the piece.
What?
This will immediately put us in a similar situation to the protagonist by giving us a sense that something just wasn't right with the encounter. Isn't that what I did? Feels like that's what I did. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what else. You literally mentioned the encounter.
What? You did it with the hair, though, didn't you?
Freaked them out.
I thought, didn't you? Didn't you, like... you mentioned something about her hair at the start, and his hair was woven in. So that was
correct.
Obvious enough.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. No, but yeah.
Well spotted, Dave. You're not even reading it.
They want you to go, right, there was a man with no teeth, right? Judges, can you understand? There was a man with no teeth at the beginning, and then at the end, there were no teeth left. So that's what the story is, right?
Is there any personality or behaviour?
So why did his girlfriend lose her teeth again?
He poked her. He poked her in the back so hard.
This is a good... This is my favourite. Apart from the one about how... are we to infer that one at the beginning? This is my favourite bit. Is there any personality or behaviour to explore from Lily to see her before this big twist?
No.
The narrator notices the mouth first, but what else could be examined in this small space to signify that something is wrong?
So after you notice your girlfriend's got no teeth all of a sudden, you then think, yeah, but maybe that's normal. Let me see if there's anything else out of place before I get a bit disturbed. How bizarre. Bloody hell.
So yeah, so that's what they thought. I mean...
All the judges, in all of them, they all seem to think... Like the sort of the one judgment that comes across of all of them is, could you have put some more words in?
Yeah, to explain it better to me.
Could you have put some more words into this 100-word challenge?
Do you know what? It's not even that. Do you know what it is? It's the do you remember in advertising we always used to talk about not completing the circle?
What, allowing?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Is that I like inferring things.
So you take people along 70-80% of the way.
Yeah.
And the connection that they can make, the last bit, the piece of the jigsaw they put in themselves.
That's it.
Is what draws them into the piece of work, the advert, the whatever. Because then they're part of it and they've done something. They've done some work and they get a nice psychological pat on the back for it. That's when it really
works.
And
it's the unanswered question. And actually
all their comments are saying, let's complete this. Can we just completely explain it? Complete that circle.
And it's much more fun not answering the question and being the reader trying to interpret, is it have her teeth fallen out or is it the guy? Is it the, you know, which
just,
of those is it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite nice to leave it. Like, you don't know
for
definite.
That's supposed to do, isn't it?
Well, that's exactly the same as mine. That's
what I think.
Well, clearly.
Because you could explain more. I mean, you don't have many words, but you could explain it a bit more.
Yeah, but if you explain it more,
I don't think,
it's not horror anymore, is it? Like, if it's suddenly just a description of somebody thought that it was somebody, but it was somebody else, but it was clear all along, then it's not a horror.
That's right. And the man was in my bed, and my girlfriend wasn't there anymore, and she's probably dead because he's weird and he killed her.
Should have put that in the title, mate. Yeah. Tell you. Did either of you see the link a little bit further down that feedback email?
What, where you can give feedback on the feedback?
Oh, yes. You can give feedback to their feedback.
You can evaluate the judges.
I
started writing that.
Did you?
I bet you did.
Yeah, then I stopped writing that.
I wonder if, is it possible for us to give feedback that completely misses the point of the feedback that they gave us?
We do sound quite bitter, don't we?
Yeah, that's the problem. You just come across as like, get over it.
Is this like an hour of bitterness?
Yeah, exactly.
We don't
need to write an email, do we? We've just recorded a bloody podcast about how bitter we are.
Hey, but this one's for all those guys out there who've... you know, had unfair feedback, you know?
Yeah.
We're there for you.
Yeah.
We're there for you.
Exactly.
Here's a little song for anyone that's ever received feedback. Ooh, yeah. Maybe from a microfiction contest or something that wasn't quite what you expected.
Tell them, Tom.
There's something rather scary about exposing yourself to the world. Whipping off your metaphorical literary clothes and letting everyone observe those darling words you've nurtured and brought to life on the page. You think they're bloody great and you nervously hope others feel the same. Then they take stock of your prose penned in your own sweat and tears and proceed to get the wrong end of the stick like the stupid kid who sat next to an English GCSE for years. You can get mad, you can get cross, shout your tits off on your silly little podcast. You can cry, sneer, let it all out, even shed a few lonely rider tears. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much we whine, though. Because however wrong you think they are, the judge's decision is final.
Idiots!
Don't listen to what people say about your writing. They're idiots.
Mm-hmm. But that's not true. You see, that's not true. Like I said, I have no issue with people criticising it at all. But just on that, you know, when they just they've got something completely wrong.
That's when they miss the point. Yeah.
Yeah. Just be right. Be right in your criticism.
Yeah, yeah. You want your you want some feedback that makes you go, ah, yeah. Actually, yes. Bugger, I should have changed that. That was.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. That's what you want to.
Yeah, exactly.
To grow and improve your writing. And it's good, isn't it, when you get feedback?
Yeah. If you were giving top tips to somebody writing 100-word microfiction, what would you say to them? What have you learnt in the process?
Well, I don't know, because, like, there's two parts to that question, really, isn't it? It's what actually do you think you should do, and then what do you think the judges are looking for? In
You can't write to what you think the judges might want.
Yeah.
No, you can't do the second
I don't
guess,
care about
you?
Them. I care what you, yeah, what you
don't
think.
Use too many words. I think yeah. Probably, that's what I would say.
Did you write something a bit too long, Birdie? Or did you try and stick to 100 the whole time? Or what were you...
No, it started off at like 150, I think. I just sort of sat down and wrote a story out, and it was about 150. And do you know what? I actually quite, bizarrely, I quite enjoyed the process of like, okay, what bits can I take out? How can I make this sort of work?
I
that was
mind,
a pleasurable experience. It's weird though, because I didn't read any of the winners before like you did, John, but I did read a couple like afterwards, and you do find sort of the best ones, you sort of read them and you go, bloody hell, was that only 100 words? Because it feels like there's a lot sort of in there. So yeah, there's quite a skill, isn't it, making it seem like a lot when actually, you know, there's very little room.
I think there's probably he's not trying to do too much in terms of the action, but spend more time explaining a small piece of action.
That's it.
Yeah.
Using more words.
Yeah.
I think that's really key, sticking to one tiny little moment in time that is almost like a little macrocosm of everything else.
But feeling that you can put a few more words into explaining that, and so it feels like there's detail and real kind of like something in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a snapshot. Obviously, with the length of time, it sounds obvious, but...
But yeah, I felt like because I was sort of flitting between something that had happened and a moment in time that was happening. It was, I mean, I suppose with horror, you do need to set stuff up a little bit. But that felt maybe like that was the mistake. Like, I think sometimes you need to just condense it into one single little moment.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. Just focus on that rather than like flashing forward, flashing backwards or whatever.
Yeah.
And stick to very few characters.
With the irony of us, let's sit here and offer our expertise.
But you do learn a lot.
After our massive flash fiction success.
I think that's the brilliant thing, though. You do learn a lot. In a very short amount of time, don't you, doing this, I think.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, John. I think it is about sort of trying to... You've got to take a snapshot, haven't you? I think yours did that pretty well, Tom, I think. Yours was very much like a really short...
It was a scene, It was
a piece of action, wasn't it?
Scene, wasn't it?
Yeah. But all in all, what do we think? Was it a valuable experience?
I think it was good to do, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I enjoyed it because I found it quite stressful. But,
it didn't sound like you did in a way.
You didn't sound like you were having fun,
I sort of
John.
Did enjoy it in a weird kind of way, but I agonised too much. I always do with things like this.
But yeah, I think it was worth
absolutely,
doing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Something different. Yeah.
Would you do it again?
Something similar?
Maybe not a 100-word thing, but maybe some sort
of... It feels a bit arbitrary, 100. But there's lots of flash fiction competitions, aren't
maybe.
There?
Yeah,
let's do another one.
Because I don't
slightly
think,
longer.
Know,
yeah,
no one's ever going to really remember a 100-word story, I don't think. Whereas if it's a bit maybe a 500-word thingy, like a page stuff that we do sometimes, something like that, we should have a go at. I reckon.
Yeah,
let's do it. Should we give that to Birdie? Birdie, find us a competition.
All right, okay. Flash fiction. There must be loads.
So next time out, we'll be we've got an interview, haven't we? We will be having a chat with...
Adrian Poynton, comedy writer.
Yep.
That's probably the best description. Comedy writer. I was going to add some other things. He writes comedy.
Being that he writes comedy. You know, I think that's quite good, Dave, and have a chat with him about his...
Working in Hollywood.
His rise up through the ranks and everything. And
I do think, though, the thing about people like Adrian, often you find that some of the first things they say are like the least interesting. So I think what we should do is have a chat, but then maybe just disregard the first part of the conversation.
Roughly half an hour?
About the first half an hour, almost as if it never existed. It was never sort of recorded.
Someone forgot to press record?
Yeah, like that.
Similar cut, yeah.
Obviously not that. No, but...
Who would do that?
I don't know. Can't imagine.
I'm in charge of the recordings. Yeah. I don't see how. Well, I mean, Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Just a suggestion.
Tune in next week, dear listener, to find out. Well, yeah, I did forget to record the first time.
But I'm sure it all works out fine in the end. But until then, thanks for listening to our rants.
Yeah, thanks for listening to our bitterness.
Yeah.
It can't have been easy.
It would be interesting to know, actually, if any of the listeners can be bothered sending us a tweet or anything, whether they agree with that, whether we're just being bloody-minded.
Yeah,
and,
we just...
That's interesting. Right, yeah, actually, or... yeah. Tell us if we're right to be angry about our judgment, or were the judges absolutely spot on?
Or were our stories just a bit rubbish?
Or did the judges miss some other things that made our stories
rubbish? There could be loads of other stuff.
Let us know.
Yeah, we would actually appreciate you feeling that. Until next time.
Take care.
Get in touch and judge us.
Hello.
Hello.
Where's everybody gone?